Thank you for choosing to listen to this message. At Coastal, we believe in changing and enriching lives through the power of the Word. We pray that this message would be a blessing to you.
To just put your hand gently on the person next to you and just speak blessing. We speak blessing over one another. Thank you, Lord, that you are here with us. You love us. You'll encourage us. You strengthen us and speak to us. We ask this in your name. Amen. This morning, I felt I really wanted to share with you from Luke chapter 8. But my title is called Facing Storms. And we've all faced storms of some form. They can be storms that were expected. You know, we knew that they were coming. I remember years ago coming here, not that long ago, but I arrived here and they had a hurricane that had come through. And I remember Shannon, who is part of your community here, going to a house and seeing loads of houses that had been hit by the hurricane. And my goodness, that was quite something for me to see. Stayed with Rod and Val, and there was cold showers, which was fun. And we had no electricity, and I was bereft because I like to iron my clothes. And so I couldn't do that. but it was, so those expected storms, and we kind of make provision for those. And then they're the unexpected ones as well. And so storms come to all of us sometime. Even people who lead churches, all of us, because we're all in this world together. And the incredible thing that we need to know or wrestle with is this: where will we find ourselves in the boat? Who's in the boat with us when we go through storms? Who's in the boat with us? And so, yes, there's Jesus, but we need one another as well. And the question is, who do I want in the boat with me when I go through a storm? And that's an important question for us to be able to ask ourselves. But I'm going to read from Luke chapter 8. And here's the story. It says, in verse 22, it says, "One day Jesus said to his disciples, 'Let us go to the other side of the lake.'" Keep that in mind. "Let us go to the other side of the lake." And so they got into the boat and they set out. And as they sailed, he fell asleep. And I believe he fell asleep because he was tired. You know, that was it. He had been ministering. If you hear earlier on in Luke chapter 8 and verse 1, it says, "After this, Jesus traveled around and about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God." Isn't that amazing? That's what he calls us to do. And so they got in the boat and they set out. And as they sailed, he fell asleep. A squall came down on the lake so that the boat was being swamped. And they were in great danger. And the disciples went and woke him, saying, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." And I just love what Jesus does. He gets up. And in our storms, he gets up. He's not standing passively. He's not just lying down sleeping. He gets up and rebuked the wind and the raging waves, and the storm subsided and all was calm. "Where is your faith?" he asked his disciples. In fear and amazement, I don't blame them. They asked one another, "Who the heck is this?" That's in the English translation. "He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him." And so here is this story where Jesus goes, "We're going to the other side, guys." And so often we can feel when we're going to the other side, yay, it's going to be great all the way. Nothing will ever go wrong because he said we'll go to the other side. Not true. And we have to remind ourselves that Jesus says we're going to the other side. And there he is in the boat with them, and he falls asleep. And sometimes we can feel like Jesus is asleep, but he's there. and a huge storm came. And I've been to Israel and I've been to Galilee. And apparently the waves on Galilee, when a storm whips in, can be up to 20 feet high. And so these guys who were in the boat with Jesus were professional fishermen. They knew Galilee like the back of their hand. They were informed. And they knew the perils. And so this storm comes towards them. And I don't think they just went, oh, look, there's a little storm. And as the storm comes in, what do they start doing? I think they start bailing. Really, seriously. And then the realization hits them. Guys, with natural information, we're going to drown. And we better wake Jesus up and just inform him he's about to die. Let's put it in the real stuff. They didn't know who he was, or, well, they'd seen a few things, but they didn't, you know. And so they wake him up. What kind of man sleeps through a storm, for goodness sake? And Jesus gets up. And I love that. In spite of their fears and anxieties, they wake him up. Come on, Jesus. Show your power. Show who you are. And Jesus gets up. And I just love that. With all the authority of the one who threw the stars into the heavens, who knows every moment of every day. And yet he understands weaknesses and fallibilities. He gets up and he calms the sea. He takes the breath out of the storm. And then he puts a question to them. And I don't believe it was a harsh, well, where is your faith, for goodness sake, guys? Saying, guys, where's your faith? I've told you we're going to get to the other side. I'm with you all the way. And this story for me is so apt for where we are right now. And my question to you, as it is to me, in the storms of life, in that boat that we're in, are we madly bailing and trying to sort it out ourselves, or are we nestled next to the one who made the wind and the waves? Where do I position myself? Am I snuggled up close to the Lord? Am I listening to his heartbeat rather than just the anxiety of the storm around me? And as I was preparing this, I was just reminded again of scriptures that are found in the book of Deuteronomy, where Moses says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Jesus has never said to any of us, hey, become a Christian, get in the boat with me. It's going to be cool all the way. You'll just go from one glory cloud to the next. Never, ever said that. And beloved, he understands where you are at. And I know some of you may look at me and think, oh, she's never had a hard knock in her life. Oh, yes, I have. Serious, serious pain. Serious loss. Serious sadnesses. And then in Deuteronomy 31 verse 8, it says, the Lord himself goes before you. But he doesn't just go before you, it says, and he will be with you. He will never leave nor forsake. Do not be afraid and do not be discouraged. Allow God to infuse you with that courage of the King and the Kingdom. And so this story, and as we face storms, I believe it's helped me a lot. And the first question comes from the disciples. Don't you care? And when storms hit us, there is that split moment that we think, God, do you really care? Do you really care? And we do feel swamped. And we have to be honest with that. But beloved, we don't have to live in that place of just our feelings. And I remind myself constantly on this, is that I do not, and it's a choice that I make, I do not live by the fickleness of my feelings, but by the faithfulness of God. And I've learned how to get that place in, get that strong in my heart in good times. So when the bad times come, when the poo times come, oh, she said that word in church. I can hold steady. And having done all, I can keep standing. Because I'm not just living by the fickleness of my feelings, but by who he is. We are going to get to the other side, God. Don't you care? I know you care. I know you care. I'm feeling all over the place, but I know you care. And the natural thing is to be able to say, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. And that's okay. But I want to encourage you, what are your eyes looking at? What are your ears listening to? And we have to learn how to fix our eyes on Jesus. I just love the worship this morning. Thank you so much. But it's one thing to sing it. It's another thing to live it. It's another one thing to go, yeah! And then we walk out of here. And we have to keep our eyes on Jesus. And so those disciples voiced their fear, but they didn't just keep Balaam, they woke him up. And there is nothing more profound than when we stand before the throne of grace and we go, I need your help. And he hears us. He hears the deep sound of our hearts. And I've seen time and time again, when I'm not just looking for the affirmation or the encouragement or the consolation of people, but I go to the great comforter and say to him, God, I need your help above everybody else's help that they can give me. I have been so amazed and so thankful that he stands up in the boat and he calms the sea. The storms may still be raging around, but on the inside, there's such a sense of peace and calm because he's there. And I want you to know that's what I see in my friends over here. We have laughed so much. And laughter is good like medicine. And we've cried. And I tell you something, there's peace in the home. And I love that. There's peace in the home. And there's that anchoring that Jesus gives. And he says, it is well. Helps me to sing. It is well with my soul. Even so, it is well with my soul. I'll have to tell you a quick little story about that hymn. I lost both my parents in 10 days. And these guys were with me and Mark when it all happened. And I remember standing on the rocks. It was a high storm in the area where I was living. And my brothers had gone for a walk on the beach. And I was standing on the rocks and I started to sing this hymn. And I had my arms up like this. My one brother said to the other, she's going to jump. Thanks, guys. There is power, power, power in God's word when he stands up in our boat. And then he says to us, hey, guys, where is your faith? Where is your assurance? Where is your confidence? Where is your reliance? Where is your trust? And when those storms come, that's when we know the difference between all the information about what we say about Jesus and when it's inside us. And I know that I know that I know. That's the difference. And God wants us to know that he is the Lord of our journey. And beloved, the enemy, and I don't like to give him any credence, loves nothing better when we just go for the mind. And what? Why? Why did this happen? Why? And that question will come, but I want to encourage you, flip it quickly and begin to say, Lord, what are you going to do in and through this? What are you going to show me? How are you going to grow me? The why question so often leads, if we go round and round and round, it leads to offense and it paralyzes us. But that faith-filled, Lord, what are you doing in the midst of all of this? And where is your faith? Beloved, if we just have faith in people, they let us down and they move us on. I can only give so much to my friends. But I can't be that one who calms the storm for them. Only the Lord can. And we have faith in situations, and beloved, situations can change. Or the economy. Anybody notice that? Up and down. Or politicians, dear me. Dear me. But I want to encourage you with this, as I encourage myself in the UK where I live and in South Africa. The Bible commands us to pray for our leaders. How are you praying? Or you're just hoping that there's a change? Pray for whoever is in power now. God puts those people in power. I just thought I'd put that there. Or we have faith in the church and the ministers. They've taken up the calling, but they're not Jesus. They're not the Messiah. They haven't hung on the cross. So we're the church together. And if we put all our faith in just a person, we'll be hurt. There may even be spiritual abuse that happens. Or faith in ourselves. And what limitations. In Psalm 20, it says, some trust in chariots and some trust in horses, but we will put our trust in the Lord. And faith in God is our sure foundations. And sometimes I don't get the answers that I want, but I know he will get me to the other side. And Lord, thank you for that eternal perspective. Give me salve for my eyes to be able to see. And in Romans 8, verse 31, actually, I'm going to read 1 Corinthians 2, verse 5. It says that your faith should not stand in the wisdom or the rhetoric of men, but in the power, the infinite power of God. And in Romans 8, verse 31, it says, what then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, then who or what can be against us? And that's not just right now in the moment, but the long view. In Romans 8, verse 39, I love what Paul says this. And he was in a dire situation. He was in a storm when he wrote this. He said, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love, the passionate love of God that is in Christ Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. Don't you care? Yes, I do care. Where is your faith? My faith is in you. Who is this man? Beloved, he is the King of Kings. And I love the story found in The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. Anybody ever read that? Of C.S. Lewis. Love it. Great book, hey? Yeah. And there's this conversation that takes place between the kids and Mr. and Mrs. Beaver about Aslan, the great lion. And Susan says, is he quite safe? I feel rather nervous about meeting a lion. And trust me, I've seen lions in the head. They're not here, kitty, at all. And Mrs. Beaver answered, if there is anyone who can appear before Aslan without their knees knocking, they're either braver than most or just silly. Lucy says, then he isn't safe. And Mr. Beaver says, safe? Who said anything about safe? Of course he isn't, but he's good. He's the king, I tell you. And beloved, Aslan, our Aslan is not a tame lion. He's not safe. He's never promised us safety. He's promised us security and anchoring in who he is and calling us into himself and the inheritance that we have in him. And I'm closing with this. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated, and Nathan is right there. Yes. seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. And then verse 4, this is our hope. And when Christ, who is your life, appears, you will also appear with him in glory. Let's pray together. And maybe there's you this morning thinking, I've been in that position of, God, you don't care. And I'm just going to ask you very quickly, because I know time is running out. If you've been in that place, and there's been a shift as I've been speaking, not so much what I've said, but what God has said to you, and you know that he cares, and you want to do that divine exchange, please, would you just stand with me right now? Or maybe for some of you, it's your faith, that you've been putting your faith in situations and circumstances instead of in him. And the Lord is saying to you today, where is your faith? And you're saying, Lord Jesus, it's in you, the author and the perfecter of my faith. Please, will you stand? Please, let's do this really quickly. Don't debate about it. Just let's respond. And then finally, who is this man? It is a voyage of discovery who he is. And maybe he's been information for you rather than a revelation. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And you've fallen from that first love. Please, will you stand? And I just want to pray a quick prayer over you. So the rest of us, let's put our hands out. Lord Jesus, I thank you so much that we will face storms. And sometimes they just don't make sense. But we thank you that you are with us, you are for us, and that you will never, ever leave us. And so we say, you care. Beyond what we may feel, you care. And thank you that you take all our pain and all our questions and you hold them. You're there with us. You're standing up in our boats. You're not asleep. And Lord, we set our gaze on you again. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Thank you, Lord. You are the God who hears, who sees, who loves and who comforts.
Thank you, Lynn. She's amazing, isn't she? She's such a little thing, and yet she's got so much power. I'll need these. I'll get there in a minute. Maybe two. So I'm here to support them. Came all the way from South Africa early to be with Rodinville. Through their great loss. And just stand alongside them. Undergird them and love them and help them. When I lost my wife, I went, took pottery classes on the wheel, and a lady was teaching me how to do it. Quite an attractive lady. If I could just go back to this raffle, it would be nice if there were two ladies so we could have some conversation. In the raffle. If you're coming out with me for a meal, then please make it two ladies, not one lady. Otherwise, we're not going to be saying a great deal to each other. It's One of the most difficult things to do in pottery on a wheel is to center the clay. It's very difficult. So she would stand behind me and put her hands on my hands and then help me center the clay and get it into the middle. Because I was off center because of my great loss. Lose your wife, that's a great loss. Lose a son is horrific. They've lost a son. And this is horrific for them. And they're off center. They're not off center in God. They're off center in emotion. They're just off center. Off center that they never see him again. There's so many things that you deal with when you lose someone. It takes you out of the middle. And now you're spinning on the outside and it's difficult. They need to be able to be put back in the middle and recentered. And that's where you come in. In a gentle, caring way, not overwhelming. Not all at the same time. You won't be able to cope with that. To help them recenter themselves in their lives, in their loss, and be able to carry on going. And I would go to my pottery classes and I would deliberately put the clay on the outside of the center. It was quite nice having her put her hands on mine. And helped me to recenter my life. And she really helped me. And eventually, through time, I came back into some form of center. You never get back into the real middle because that person's not there anymore. Yes. But you do come back to a place where you can cope, where you can talk about it, where you can live through it. And she did that for me. It was just so wonderful. No. I didn't go to pottery. I don't know what to do with all the pots. And then when I was pastoring, one of the things I did, I took 10 children to school every morning. I drove them to school. I never drove on the road if I could help it. I drove on the verges, through the green belts. Made it interesting going to school, you know. Going to school is not the most wonderful thing anyway. But occasionally I decided that I would take them on what I called outdoor education. And I'd get my secretary to phone the children that I took to school to inform them that the pastor was taking these particular children out on outdoor education. And the school said, "Isn't the pastor so wonderful?" And I took them, we had a big swimming pool in Sea Point in Cape Town. And it had a big, it was a big pool and it had a diving pool. And that's where we went for outdoor education. We went there and played. All 10 of us played there and Nathan was there. And Nathan was a little thing. But he had absolutely no fear. So there was a 3-meter board. So that's quite high. It's, 2 stories. And he asked if he could, if I let him jump off there. So I said, "No, you can jump off there if you want to." So he was jumping off the board, and then he was standing on the board, and he said to me, "Uncle Harry, I think I can dive off here." I said, "Your father's going to kill me." and he dived off there. I was very close to him. Very close. So to lose Nathan has been a real hard thing for me. Very hard. I had a great relationship with him. I loved him. He excelled in everything he did. He was the most amazing man. And he'll be greatly missed. Greatly missed. And the scripture, I better share a scripture, otherwise you'll think I'm not a pastor. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures, he leads me beside quiet waters. Praise God, he restores my soul. Praise God for that. He guides me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff comfort me. We used to always say that when Rod and Val were working with me, that Rod was the rod and Valerie was the staff. But rod means power and authority. And the staff means care and compassion. So he says when his rod and staff's with you, his power and authority is with you, and his care and compassion are with you. That's just so beautiful. That when you find yourself lost or off center, he takes his rod and in his power and authority draws you in, and he's in his care and compassion loves you. He just loves you. And I don't know where you are in your lives at the moment. Whether you are facing something where you need his power and authority to change circumstances. Or, as where I am at the moment, need care and compassion. So if you are facing something where you are needing the authority and the power and the ability of Almighty God to change circumstances for you, then I'll tell you, stand up. I'll pray for you. And I'll ask God to change the circumstances, for God to do a miracle that only God can do, that he will bring his rod of authority and his rod of power and his ability on your behalf, and you'll be amazed at what God's done for you. Because he is that God that's got compassion. But I want you to know, he is the God that's got power and authority to change circumstances, to bring about miracles, to bring finance, to bring in new jobs. There's so many things that I've seen God do in my career as a pastor. I know that he'll do it for you. So, Father, I thank you for all these that are standing, that by your power and through your authority, you will move mountains on their behalf. You'll bring healing where healing is needed. Yeah. You'll bring finance where finance is needed, Lord. You'll bring jobs where jobs are needed, Lord. You'll change circumstances and give promotions, Lord. You'll restore where there needs to be restoration. So many things you do, Lord. So I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. And then if you want to stand with me for care and compassion on behalf of Rod and Val. And then once again, I must tell you that when you lose someone, it's very overwhelming. But it can be even more overwhelming if you are too overwhelming. So I need you to be very sensitive in how you... Now, all of us want to love them now. All of us want to throw our arms around them and love them. That's understandable. But I ask you to step back And when God says to do that, do it. They don't rush them at the moment. They need some space. So, Father, we come to you on behalf of Roddenville as a congregation, as people that love them. And we ask you from the bottom of our hearts, Lord, for your tangible love of care and compassion to flood them, to overwhelm them, and to heal them over time. We stand with them in their great loss, and we ask you for such an anointing of love and compassion to come upon them. And we ask this, Lord, for your glory, for your love to be shown. And we ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, Harry. Thank you, Lynn. What a blessing. Pastor Rod and Val, just know we love you so much. And we're here. Church, before we release, just want to remind everybody of the stuff we have going on over in the corner over here. So there's some goodies that Lynn has brought. So please make sure to check out that table. Make sure that you, if you pay in check or if you want to pay through the church app or anything like that, you can do so for those things. The money will go to Coastal. But please make sure you put in the memo New Day. And if, as long as you notate it New Day, the money will be sent to Lynn and her ministry there. Also, the Coastal Teens bake sale over there and the raffles. We don't have the raffle box for Harry yet, so just come and talk to us on the side for that one. But please make sure to support the teens there. And yes, and then next Sunday, Lynn will be here through next week, and next Sunday we are going to take up an offering for New Day. We've been able to bless her in that ministry over the last several years, and we want to continue to support all of the amazing things that they're doing in South Africa. So throughout this week, just pray for a number. Ask God what he would like you to give to New Day and what way you can support. And as always, even if you're not able to give financially, they would love to have your prayer. So let's pray. And then after we pray, just remember you're not done with church until you've hugged at least 10 people and submitted a ticket into the raffle. Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for just these amazing people that you have blessed us with, these amazing brothers and sisters that you have blessed us with, God. Lord, we just ask that you would continue to wrap your arms around Rod and Val, Daniel and Natalie, Jessica and Chase. Lord, just continue to comfort them, guide them, hold them, give them peace. And Lord, for the rest of us here, we just ask that you would bless us as we go about our weeks or our week. And Lord, we just ask that you would help us to be the church outside of these four walls. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.